Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live from the Horn Family Automotive Studios.
It's a good Wednesday. Thanks for being with us, Brad Sesmat, Sports360AZ.com on White Mountain Radio. Good to be on White Mountain Radio on Twitter at Brad Sesmat, C-E-S-M-A-T. Busy show ahead. Michael Fabiano, NFL Network, NFL.com, the best in the business, the Hall of Famer with the NFL Network. Every week he joins me on the show. Fantasy football, get you ready for the playoffs this weekend. A lot of questions coming in on my Twitter feed at Brad Sesmat for Michael Fabiano. He'll answer as many of them as we can get to. That comes up at the bottom of the hour. Hour number two, Todd Husek, former Stanford and NFL quarterback. He's the Cardinal radio analyst. His thoughts on Saturday's Pac-12 title game matchup at Sun Devil Stadium. As we work closer to Saturday, I cannot remember the last time. Where was I last night? I was over at Grand Canyon University last night. And before there, I was at just a little coffee shop, and there was a couple, like three, four couples, and they're probably in their, I don't know, late 30s, and they're talking about everything under the sun, and out of the blue, they start talking about ASU football. And it's pretty evident these people don't, you know, they don't watch much. They don't really follow that close, but they're all getting their tickets to go to the game because it is the social event to do. Some ASU fans are turned off by those that jump on bandwagons quickly. You have to understand that here in the state of Arizona, there's always a bandwagon that needs to be jumped on. And it's okay this time of year. It's okay because we haven't had much. If you think about the last time that we really had a bandwagon going full bore, Eric, when was the last time, senior executive vice president of everything or nothing, depending on the day, Eric Sorensen, when was the last time that we had a bandwagon here in Arizona that got out of control with fans?
Coyotes, probably 2 years ago on their mythical run to the Western Conference Finals. Everybody was crazy about the Coyotes. Now, although they're playing relatively good hockey, if you go to a game during the week, you are likely to see more empty seats than you are filled seats.
Yeah. And then it's a different deal with the Coyotes, I think, because that's a niche crowd, and there's nothing wrong with niche crowds. But I think that from a mainstream perspective, when you look at football and the college and all the students that go there year after year after year, to me, the last time that there was a bandwagon that was really out of control was probably the Super Bowl year. Now, this is a week of enthusiasm with Arizona State. If they lose Saturday's game and they end up going to the Holiday Bowl and they play Kansas State,
tough pill to swallow and a huge trap game for ASU, because that game will be mean much more to K-State than it will to ASU.
If they end up winning the game Saturday and they meet Alabama in the Rose Bowl because Ohio State finishes 1 or 2, and Alabama, Arizona State in the Rose Bowl, who would have predicted that? What do you think it's going to be like here in the state?
Crazy.
Bedlam. It would be bigger than the Super Bowl because it's the college. See, the NFL fan that lives here, they follow the Packers, and they follow the Steelers, and they follow the Bengals. And then I think as things went along with the Cardinals, they went to the Super Bowl, it became the fashionable thing to do. And it was all the way down in Florida. If it's in Pasadena and there's the parade, you're going to see people coming out of the woodwork to make the drive 6 hours to take a part of everything and anything that has nothing at all to do with a football game.
This situation, I think, has a lot more built-up momentum than the Cardinals did, because the Cardinals going into the playoffs were not expected to do much of anything. And this ASU team has just slowly been ramping itself up ever since that loss to Notre Dame. And they're almost at the crescendo. Saturday probably will be. I mean, you're playing the Pac-12 title game. So.
Sure, sure. What's your Facebook question of the day as we get off and running?
Well, it's funny you should mention that, because today's Facebook question of the day involves the guy that is responsible for getting ASU here, Todd Graham.
Yeah.
You know, Brad, Steve Sarkisian got introduced yesterday at USC.
Right.
And this time of year, you're hearing whispers of maybe Gus Malzahn leaving to go to Texas and some other high-profile jobs opening up. And it just got us thinking, you know, in the back of your mind, now that ASU is on the football map, are you a little concerned Todd Graham might put in the left lane and hammer down to another school at the end of the year?
Wow. Well,
no
I wrote
one.
About this.
It's the big white elephant in the corner that no one wants to talk about. But you know what, Brad? It's a lot more realistic to say that now than it was 2 months ago, because ASU has arrived. They're a top 10 BCS school. They're a game away from playing in the Rose Bowl against possibly Alabama. If they win that game, oh my gosh, all the big schools are going to be clamoring to get Todd Graham.
You know what's interesting about that? Because I wrote something along these same lines, and I get called I'm searching for clicks, or I'm reaching, I'm focusing, I'm not focusing on the right things. And how dare you bring this stuff up?
Of course we're reaching for clicks. Who isn't?
And here's the thing. You're not part of the solution. So I've heard this whole deal over at ASU for about the last year and a half, be part of the solution. It's fine. I have no problems with it. But the same people that were saying be part of the solution were the same people that were defending all the garbage that was going on around the ASU football program for years and years and years. These same nitwits that were like, oh, there's no problems here. No, there's problems here. So, you know, you can't have it both ways. Fans want to have it both ways. So we were there. Of course we were there. There were hundreds of thousands of people that were there for ASU Nebraska. Problem is, there's only 73,000 seats for ASU Nebraska back in 96. Everybody said they were there. Now everybody, oh yeah, I've been there. I was with a big cigar guy yesterday. Big, big cigar guy yesterday at ASU. One of the biggest sponsors around. And he's talking about all these people that are now coming on board and jumping on in, and it's somewhat annoying to the old guard. Yeah, I get that to a point, but hey, look, have some fun with this. Enjoy it. I actually have a pair of tickets that I'm going to give away on this show tomorrow or Friday. I haven't decided when. And they're in Section 7, which is the 50-yard line.
Oh, I'll take them. Sounds great.
They're 30 rows up.
Perfect.
I'm going to give them away on this show.
To your producer?
No. I'm not giving them away to you, you dope. You're working. I have not decided yet how to give them away. But I know that they could fetch a pretty steep price, or $125 face value a piece. They're good seats. Okay, I'm not jerking around here. That's not what we're about. We're not like, hey, be caller 6, and if you light yourself on fire and paint your navel maroon and gold, or paint your manhood maroon and gold, we'll give you a pair of tickets. That's not what we're about here. No, I have 50-yard line, Section 7, 30 rows up, 2 tickets that I'm going to give away. Probably going to do it on my Twitter feed. Probably going to do it over there. Haven't fully figured it out yet. And we'll have some fun with it. Let's get you caught up some of the things on my mind in the world of sports, brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. The Honda Resort and Casino in the beautiful White Mountains, the Honda Resort and Casino where New Year's Eve, that's the place to be. Other than Pasadena, you have my permission, and I'm sure the people at the Honda Resort and Casino would feel the same way. You have their permission. If ASU's in the Rose Bowl, the place to be is probably Pasadena 1. 1A would be the Honda Resort and Casino. That's if ASU is in the Rose Bowl. But make your plans to head up to the White Mountains, get in some skiing at sunrise, stay at the Honda Resort and Casino, pull down the slot, eat some great food. That's all at the Honda Resort and Casino. What am I to make out of, a little bit further on Eric's question of Todd Graham, what am I to make out of what Jim Mora did yesterday? I'm going to lead with that. Jim Mora yesterday decided to stay at UCLA rather than go to Washington. We said yesterday how Todd Graham in Arizona State is in a tremendous position within the Pac-12 because the Pac-12 South, top to bottom, is not nearly as difficult as the Pac-12 North. If Jim Mora were to leave UCLA to go back to Washington, Jim Mora would have to fight through Stanford, fight through Oregon, have to go play over at the Palouse against Wazoo, Oregon State, Mike Riley, a Cal program that's not good that could get better, and of course David Schott, Stanford. So he decides, no, I'm going to stay in the Pac-12 South. Well, why is that? I don't know. You have Colorado, who has terrible facilities and can't figure it out. You have Utah, who I think has not recruited Pac-12 caliber players top to bottom yet on their roster. You have the U of A that last time I checked has never been to the Rose Bowl. You have USC and you have Arizona State. So you have ASU sitting over here that's the wild card in all of this in the Pac-12 South, in my opinion. I don't see Colorado or Utah or U of A turning this thing around where they're going to be Pac-12 South champs in the next couple of years. I just don't see it. I haven't seen the recruiting classes. I think Kadeem Carey, if in fact he leaves early, as many expect him to do, is a huge setback for them down in Tucson. Todd Graham has this tremendous window right now. Arizona State has this amazing opportunity right now. That's why playing this game at home for Todd Graham is so huge for them this Saturday night.
Just a major benefit for the defense. And obviously the way our defense is designed, it's a big plus. So we need this stadium packed out, and we need them to be loud and proud. And I think the greatest advantage that we have in the game, you got two great teams going at it. And the greatest advantage is the fact that we're playing right here in the Valley at Sun Devil Stadium.
Here is Chris Young, who was with me on Monday's show, the ASU linebacker. Not time to worry about what happened in Palo Alto earlier this season in September.
Yeah, it was just a terrible first half for us. Emotionally, it wasn't there for us. We knew that we could hang with them, and that's what we wanted to show ourselves. We look at ourselves way better than that, and this game will be a game that we prove to the Pac-12 that we belong here, and you know, we're a great team as well.
We're going to hear from David Shaw on the other side. We'll take a timeout here. On the other side, more on this matchup. What happens, my view on the Ohio State situation with Auburn, the loser of the Auburn game against Missouri. I've got some thoughts on that, or where they fit in the national title scheme. And Arizona State, too, tying this all together. There's a lot of college football around the Sun Devils and this run through run for the roses, December to remember, whatever you want to call it, that we're going to get to today. In about 15 minutes, Michael Fabiano, NFL Network, NFL.com, their fantasy football insider, the Hall of Famer, Fantasy Football with Michael Fabiano. Top of hour number two, Todd Husek, Stanford Cardinal color analyst. I got a pair of tickets to give away for ASU, Stanford, Section 7, about 30 rows up, $125 a piece. I got to figure out how to do it on Twitter. I'll get to that, too, as we roll on. I'm Brad Sussmat. Brad Sussmat with you, Sports360AZ.com. This segment of the show, Brad Sussmat Show, brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. Santan Ford, where you have General Manager Tim Hovick and company getting ready for the big game this Saturday. We saw Tim out on the field at UCLA. He was jumping up and down, very excited. Are you very excited and jumping up and down about the vehicle that you are driving today, guys? Are you? I mean, really, are you that excited about it? We're coming towards the end of the year. It's going to be here in just a few weeks. And now is the time to head over to Santan Ford. Very good people there. The Ford brand. What else can you say about that? Top of the line. Look at that F-150. Where are you going for Christmas? Where are you going for New Year's? Maybe you're going to be going to Pasadena and need to load up the truck or load up that new car. It's a perfect time to stop on in and do business with people that are big-time Arizona State Sun Devil fans and supporters. Tim's a big sponsor, big backer of ASU. Yeah, he supports what we do as well, and we appreciate that. I'm telling you that you can go to Santan Ford, and they will help you find that new vehicle, that new car, that new truck, that used vehicle. It's on the Santan 202 just off Val Vista. You can go to santanford.com as well. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. Brad Sussmat Show on a busy Wednesday. So up at Stanford, if ASU beats Stanford and plays Alabama in the Rose Bowl, beating Stanford, while it's been a week of enthusiasm and we're so excited, and rightly so, Stanford, it's not like I look at Stanford and feel that they're that much better than Arizona State. In September, when Eric and I were up at Stanford, they were that much better than Arizona State. There's no question about it. Their running back, Tyler Gaffney, in the last six games has eclipsed 100 yards in each one of those six games. He's been really good. On defense, Shane Scove and Trent Murphy are about as talented a twosome as you're going to find out on the field. This is not U of A's defense that ASU is going to be going up against. Stanford has been beatable away from home. So you have to take that into account. Here is David Shaw, the head football coach at Stanford, on the atmosphere he expects to see at Sun Devil Stadium on Saturday night.
It's going to be loud. Crowd's going to be into it. They feed off of that, you know, especially their defense. And they get after you, especially on third downs. They can get off the ball and they can rush the passer. You know, so for us, it's about keeping our composure. We still don't want to kick a whole bunch of field goals. You got to end those drives in the end zone. And hopefully we can slow them down on defense.
David Shaw earlier on his team now and ASU now, different ball clubs from when they met back in September.
You know, it's weird. Once you get later in the season, things aren't fresh and new anymore. You know, you kind of settle into who you are. Guys get hurt, you know, guys come back, young guys come on. You feel older as a team now than you do early in the year. So I think both teams are settling into who they are, and we're going to give it our best shot.
So is Stanford better than the teams that are going to be playing, let's say, in the Southeast Conference championship game on Saturday? Are they better than Auburn? Are they better than Missouri? I think if you go through the schedules top to bottom, from my view, Stanford has played a more difficult schedule than Auburn or Missouri have this season. When Missouri suffered their one loss, it was with their backup quarterback, and their best corner was out of the game. Is Missouri not getting enough national respect? Is Stanford better than either one of these two teams that are playing in the SEC title game? The Stanford team that I've seen this season, they went to Utah and they ended up losing the game. ASU could have just as easily lost that game up at Utah. They found a way to win it. You know, I feel like that, again, the Pac-12, this is going to become a Pac-12 thing with me. The Pac-12 has not gotten enough national respect top to bottom for the games that they've played and the difficult schedule that they've played. Look at it like this. If ASU wins this game, they go to the Rose Bowl. If they lose this game, the conference title game, they end up going to a non-BCS bowl game. In the grand scheme of things, Eric, does that really seem fair in this system? On one hand, ASU has been on a tremendous run. So they're playing in this conference title game, which, does it hurt them because there's so much on the line with the BCS and the payout? Is it really an equitable and fair system, is my point?
Not at all. But like we've been talking about since Saturday night, this is, you don't want to say it's a make or break game, but just imagine if they lose. Todd Graham meets with the team and he's like, you know what? We didn't win the Pac-12 championship, but we're going to the Holiday Bowl to play a seventh place Big 12 team. I mean, think about that. You're going
economically.
Of course.
Yeah.
Without question.
Yeah.
And the Holiday Bowl, that's a fine bowl. That's a real nice
bowl. Very good people
in
the Holiday
Bowl. There's only one granddaddy of them all. And now if you're really thinking that Alabama could be the team that Arizona State plays, Alabama.
Well, and I bring it up because here's Auburn and Missouri, and the loser of that game is going to go to a non-BCS bowl game. So these conference title games.
But it's a good non-BCS bowl game. It's much better than the Holiday Bowl. It's still going to be a New Year's Day bowl. It's just not going to be a BCS game, but it's going to be one slight tier down. The Holiday Bowl, again, you're playing like the seventh place Big 12 school.
If Michigan State beats Ohio State, where does Ohio State end up going?
It's a great question.
So So like the Fiesta, and I bring up the Fiesta Bowl, they're going to have to take Northern Illinois University. NIU
is a shame because they're not good. I mean, I was talking with my friend Brad. I mean, you look at Northern Illinois. Can you compare Northern Illinois to the Utah team that beat Alabama in the Sugar Bowl, to the TCU team that beat Wisconsin in the Rose Bowl, to the Boise State teams of 4 or 5 years ago? No, because we've seen Northern Illinois on the big stage last year against Florida State. You're going to get a repeat of that this year.
And they may end up playing Oklahoma State.
Which would be a complete butt-kicking.
And they've already been here, Oklahoma State. So there's nothing fresh about that. You know, in one sense, I'm hoping Oklahoma beats Oklahoma State this weekend. I really am. Because I just think if we want chaos, and I'd like to have some chaos this weekend. I'd love to have a little bit of chaos. I don't see Florida State having any problems with Duke whatsoever. I think it's great that Duke has come this far. David Cutcliffe, their coach, deserves some Coach of the Year honors. There's no question about it. I think where you look at Coach of the Year, it's probably Gus Malzahn. Todd Graham out here should get some votes from people that are paying attention out here. But let's just say, for argument's sake, what if Duke were to beat Florida State? I don't see it happening, but what if they did? And what if Michigan State beat Ohio State? This coming Saturday, while last Saturday was probably one of the single greatest days in college football, You had the ending of the Michigan-Ohio State game. You had what we saw with Auburn and Alabama. And for the fans here in Arizona, what happened with ASU and U of A. Can that be topped this coming weekend? Could you have complete chaos? And if Arizona State meets Alabama in the Rose Bowl, and let's just say that ASU would have beaten Stanford, and if they beat Alabama in the Rose Bowl, how high would ASU finish in the rankings? 5, 4, somewhere along those lines. They're sitting at 11 right now. So it's fascinating just to see where things are. And I know they're giving out their scholarships. They already have 19 verbal commitments, ASU does. If you're Todd Graham here in the next couple of weeks, do you go back and look through that list? Maybe. Do you start to aim higher? Did they recruit too low? They'll never say that publicly, but that is something that I've started to hear. That maybe there's some kids that they got off on or some kids that ended up committing back in August and September that are better than the ones that they have now. So do they have to readdress everything that they've done because they aimed too low? It's a really good time. There's a couple other things on my mind. So the computers right now have the Harris poll, the coaches poll. They have Ohio State at number 2. So for all the conversation about whether or not Auburn could leap over Ohio State if Ohio State wins, the polls right now are saying, no, they couldn't. The polls are saying this is about right. Friday, we'll go to Vegas. Jimmy Vaccaro, the wisest of the wise guys up in Vegas, he'll be with us to give us the view from Vegas on all these games. It'll be a lot of fun. I've got to get my Heisman Trophy ballot put to bed. I'm really struggling with voting for Jameis Winston on one hand, and it's off the field. The other hand, I have no problem at all voting Jameis Winston on my Heisman ballot. I've got to get it done here in the next few days. What happens if he gets charged or convicted? What happens if that comes up this week? Because it's a moving target. I heard this past week it was going to be after this, the voting and after the awards. Now it's come out that maybe it could be later this week. What impact should possible criminal charges against Jameis Winston have on the Heisman voting? I have no idea where I'm going to go with this vote if something were to come out on him beforehand. Then you have the quarterbacks in the NFL draft. Marcus Mariota made a very interesting decision yesterday. Oregon Duck quarterback's coming back next season. He decides he's going to stay in college. He's going to return for another year. That means that he believes he can move his draft status higher. His draft status was already in a good spot. Heard late second, some places early second. He's going to have to compete with Jameis Winston next year for the draft spot. And what I'm seeing right now to Jameis Winston, I would take him in a heartbeat as an NFL quarterback over Marcus Mariota. How does this impact Brett Hundley over at UCLA, an Arizona kid? So there's quite a bit of college football that's on my mind. The big story in the NFL today is that Mike Tomlin's fined $100,000 for his little sideline escapade against the Ravens. And they may still take away some draft picks. We'll keep an eye on that. The Cardinals are getting ready for, it is a must game against St. Louis. By the way, we'll talk to Michael Fabiano in a couple of minutes. I don't know if I have time, but any of you guys, if you have Jared Cook and you're not going to play Jared Cook this week, it's another tight end. Tight ends this year have killed the Arizona Cardinals, have absolutely destroyed them this year for whatever reason. And the Cardinals haven't won an NFC West game since all the way back to September of last year. It's 8 straight losses. So we've got that to look at. I watched some of the Suns last night against Memphis. Memphis didn't have their best two players, Zach Randolph and Marc Gasol, and they ended up crushing the Suns. It was embarrassing. Worst loss of the season. Lose by 19. They play tonight against James Harden and Dwight Howard down in Houston. The Diamondbacks make a 3-way deal. I can't give you any judgment on that because I don't know who's coming back here yet. But I do know that Heath Bell is leaving. And Eric, Heath Bell was my guy. He was my guy all the way back to last March. I remember with Pedro Gomez, we were talking about the closing situation. And I said by midseason, it would be Heath Bell. I look pretty smart.
Yeah, the Heath Bell experience is off to Tampa.
And now it's off to Tampa. Yep. And fourth team in 4 years. What does that tell you about Heath Bell? Is there something going on in the locker room with Heath Bell? It just didn't quite work out for Heath Bell. So the Diamondbacks make a trade yesterday.
We've got a year's worth of memories with Heath Bell.
Oh, yeah. And I watched some of U of A last night. U of A played Texas Tech. Really impressed with U of A's point guard, T.J. McConnell. U of A's ranked second in the nation. That's going to be a basketball team that plays late into March with March Madness. As we watch him grow, that will be interesting down in Tucson, because if they've got a point guard to get to the rest of those players and everything points towards they do, you got to watch U of A this year. On the other side, NFL talk with Michael Fabiano, the NFL Network fantasy football analyst, the Hall of Famer with NFL.com and the NFL Network. He answers all your fantasy football questions next. We're jammed up with a lot of questions. We'll rifle through as many as we can. Brad Sussmat with you, sports360az.com. I'm on Twitter, at Brad Sussmat, C-E-S-M-A-T. And, of course, we write plenty of content, shoot plenty of content on our website, sports360az.com. We're Arizona, Arizona, Arizona-centric. Thanks for being with us on a Wednesday.
Giving you fantasy football insight you can't get anywhere else. With NFL Network and NFL.com fantasy expert Michael Fabiano, here's Brad Sussmat.
Time now, as we do every Wednesday here, Sports 360 AZ with Michael Fabiano, the Hall of Famer, NFL Network, NFL.com. Down the stretch we go. What is on your mind this morning, Michael?
Other than the fact that my Yankees signed Jacoby Ellsbury, the first week of the fantasy postseason, of course.
Yeah, there you go. And we've got questions off and running. Time to give up on Aaron Rodgers. Percy Harvin from Michael.
Aaron Rodgers, no, I would not drop him unless the Packers somehow in the next week or two say that he is out for the season. Harvin, you know, Brad, that's a different story. He's had a setback, and there is talk about him having some sort of procedure. If you need to drop Percy Harvin in favor of a hot free agent, I think at this point the move makes sense.
Andre Brown or Josh Gordon as a flex from Januz?
I don't know how you bench Josh Gordon right now. The guy has been fantastic. I don't know who the quarterback's going to be for the Browns this week. They just signed Caleb Haney. And, of course, Brandon Whedon had a concussion. Jason Campbell's recovering from a concussion the previous week. So even though the quarterback situation is a bit messy, Josh Gordon has done it regardless of who the quarterback is. They could probably bring back Brian Sipe, and he'll have 100 yards and a touchdown. So, you know, I love Andre Brown, but I've got to go Josh Gordon.
You mean Bernie Kosar there, too, you know.
Bernie Kosar, Vinny Testaverde, bring them all back. He'll catch passes from whoever is the quarterback in Cleveland.
VC for Michael Fabiano, NFL Network, NFL.com. Pick two to start at running back, F. Jackson, Bernard Tate. Thanks.
Wow. I like Tate's matchup. Of course, that's on Thursday night. The decision between Bernard and Jackson is really all about whether or not this is a standard scoring league or a PPR league. I would go with Jackson if it's a standard league. PPR, you know, that Giovanni Bernard, he's been pretty valuable. So it all depends on the scoring system there. But initially, I'm saying to go with Fred Jackson.
Luis, Frank Gore or Shane Vereen?
Again, it's all about the scoring system. Gore has a horrible matchup this week, and Vereen has been really good, especially in PPR leagues. I say Vereen. It's close in standard leagues. In PPR leagues, Vereen is the call, and it's not close.
Josh, this is somewhat complicated. PPR league, so he has to start three, at least one running back. He has Garcon, Keenan Allen, Kendall Wright, Vereen, Andre Brown. Have to start three, at least one running back.
PPR, Vereen is going to be the guy who you're going to start at the running back position. Allen's a very good play. He's been very good over the last couple of weeks. Two others that you would have to play. I don't want to play Wright over Gore. I prefer to have a running back. With that being said, Gore has a bad matchup this week. So if you prefer to go with the wide receiver there, I understand. I also go with Andre Brown.
Well, I'm getting a lot of Nick Foles questions, Michael. I mean, I could go all over the place with Nick Foles. I've got.
Well, I have a lot. I have an easy solution for you.
Yeah.
Unless you have Peyton Manning, or Matthew Stafford, or Tom Brady, or Drew Brees or Cam Newton, you're starting Nick Foles. And this week, I'd start Nick Foles over Drew Brees because he's got a good matchup, and listen, he's been on fire. This kid has been unbelievably good. Drew Brees, really bad last week. Of course, every player is going to have a bad week here or there. And now he's got to play the Carolina Panthers. At least he's playing it at home this week, so Brees isn't as much of a risk as he was there in Seattle, where fantasy points from opposing teams clearly go to die.
Yeah, Foles or Peyton Manning's one I've gotten over and over and over. Is it close this week on those two?
It is close. I have Peyton Manning ranked one, and I have Foles ranked three. It's very close. I have to go with Peyton Manning here, though.
A lot of questions about looking for a hot kicker down the stretch on the waiver wire. Got any thoughts on that
one? Justin Tucker has been really good.
Who was that?
Justin Tucker has been very good in Baltimore, and a lot of people had dropped him because he didn't have a great start to the season. So he is someone that you can potentially add and start right away. Other options include, for example, Alex Henry, good matchup this week. Adam Vinatieri has been very good, and he's available in a bunch of leagues still on NFL.com as well. So those are some of your options. Dan Bailey is another one, although he's probably highly owned, maybe 70 or 80% on NFL.com.
A couple other questions from Michael Fabiano, NFL Network, NFL.com. He joins us every week with Brad Sussmat. Kale, Green Bay or Jacksonville defense, Matt Ryan or Colin Kaepernick?
I'm going to go with Kaepernick, although I really don't like the matchup. But Matt Ryan has been just abysmal. If we're talking statistics, he hasn't been the same quarterback since he's lost Julio Jones and Roddy White's been banged up. Now, he has a better matchup, but I would rather play Colin Kaepernick. Sometimes you have to play guys with bad matchups just because you don't have a legitimate viable option as an alternative there. What was the first question?
Green Bay or Jacksonville? Defense.
Jacksonville's defense has actually been better lately, but I'm still going with the Green Bay Packers against Matt Ryan and the Falcons. Ryan's been turning the ball over a lot over the last several weeks if you look at the combined numbers. So I'm going with the Packers here.
Mike, 2 of 4, Ben Tate, Forte, Bell, Stacy, in a touchdown-heavy scoring league.
Forte's a must-start. There's no doubt about that against the Cowboys. He could have two touchdowns and over 20 fantasy points in that contest. Stacy's got a bad matchup. The other two running backs were who?
Let's see. It was, where did it go?
you lost it?
No, I got it. Le'Veon Bell and Zach Stacy.
Le'Veon Bell's, if you, clearly you have to keep tabs on his status because he had a concussion last Thursday. But if Bell is active against the Dolphins, that is a fantastic matchup. So Le'Veon Bell there to go along with Matt Forte.
Last one, Gerald, it's kind of interesting. Tom Brady or Fitzpatrick? Fitzpatrick has really come on. But
he has. Do you know that in the last 4 weeks, Peyton Manning's the number one fantasy quarterback based on points, Cam Newton's number two, Ryan Fitzpatrick is number three? I mean, that's amazing, considering especially how good Nick Foles has played. Of course, he had a bye in one of the last 4 weeks, so that's a shocking, shocking statistic. But I'm going with Tom Brady. Tom Brady appears to be back. Earlier in the season, we had question marks about him. His wide receivers were shaky. He didn't have Gronkowski. Now he's really got his core of receivers back. Gronkowski is clearly back. And Brady is now a guy who is tough to bench.
Anybody down the stretch that you're thinking you've got to pick this person up now that we're coming into playoffs that is under the radar? I mean, Fitzpatrick, I think, is probably one of those guys.
Yep. He was the first name that comes to mind because not only does he have good matchups, but he's been playing well. In Week 16, he's playing the Jaguars. Now, you'd have to have a pretty bad quarterback situation to ride Ryan Fitzpatrick for the next 3 weeks, but you can do a lot worse. Ryan Fitzpatrick has this one skill set that people don't really consider, but he can run with the football. He's not RG3, and he's not Cam Newton, and he's not Russell Wilson, but he can run with the football. And he has the same sort of value there on a much lesser degree. As one of these running quarterbacks that we've seen, and we know how valuable running quarterbacks can be. So not only can he give you 200 or 250 yards passing and a touchdown on two there, but he can also rush for 30, 40 yards and sometimes give you that touchdown as well. Now, the problem with Fitzpatrick is that he turns the ball over too much, but even last week he had 3 or 4 turnovers. He still scored 16 fantasy points. And especially this week, going up against Denver, whose defense has not been good against quarterbacks this season, I would say you can trust the Amish rifle to be a low-end QB1 if your number one quarterback has a really bad matchup or isn't elite, because I'm not going to start Ryan Fitzpatrick over a Brady or over a Foles or over a Stafford or a Peyton Manning or a Drew Brees. But there are a lot of people out there who don't have that kind of luxury, who are playing the matchups at quarterback, and Fitzpatrick, he could be one of those unsung heroes down the stretch here in fantasy playoffs.
Great stuff. Appreciate the time. The insight as always, Michael, thanks.
All right, my friend. Take care.
Michael Fabiano with us every week. News and notes around the fantasy football run with the NFL Network and NFL.com's Michael Fabiano. He joins me every Wednesday on the show. Tomorrow, Jake Plummer will be with us, as Jake is with us every week, Pac-12 Network analyst, the great Sun Devil. I'm sure he has a lot on his mind around Stanford and ASU, and also Marcus Mariota deciding to stay in college, and what some of these other quarterbacks should be looking. That'll be with Jake Plummer tomorrow. Also, all things NFL with Clark Judge. And on Friday, we're going to be doing the show Friday out at ASU. Should we be out there with all those fans camping out, E?
Sure. I'll bring a sleeping bag and a heavy jacket, because it's going to be very un-Phoenix-like at the end of the week.
If we go out there, so I have a pair of tickets I'm going to give away. They're in Section 7. It's the 50-yard line. It is on the side where the press box is. Section 7, about 30 rows up, $125 a piece. I've got a pair of tickets I'm going to give away on my Twitter feed at some point tomorrow or Friday. I haven't decided when. I've just landed these bad boys, and I don't need to go to the game. I would like to find somebody worthy, you know, somebody that just feels like I need to be at this game. And you can go on Twitter, and you can shoot me your sob story all you want. That's fine. It's at Brad Cesmat, C-E-S-M-A-T. And just knock yourself out. Have some fun with it. On the other side, so we've had some stories lately that have been really uncomfortable, like the Alabama fan killing another for not taking the loss personal. That was out there, you know, and I'm not joking on that. But now we have a story on the other side involving Peyton Manning that has me really scratching my head, way too much time on somebody's hands. I'll see if Eric can relate to this. And much, much more as we roll on. Brad Cesmat with you, sports360az.com. On White Mountain Radio, the good people, White Mountain Radio, where the snow is coming, I'm hearing. And, of course, on Twitter, too, at Brad Cesmat. So what if Michigan State beats Ohio State and ASU ends up winning their game? A ASU-Michigan State game, is that the more likely scenario? Brad Cesmat with you, sports360az.com. On Twitter, at Brad Cesmat, White Mountain Radio. There's an outside chance of Alabama. I would say that it's not just an outside shot. I'd say it's a pretty good shot. I think Ohio State wins this weekend. It's not their fault they're in a crud conference. Come on. You know, they're just going to go take care of business this week. I think it would be kind of funny to see the Ohio State fans and how they would react losing to Michigan State. Come on, it's Michigan State. You're the Ohio State, not Ohio State, the. You're supposed big time. You're not supposed to lose this game. Arizona State's just happy to be playing in a Pac-12 title game. Missouri, Eric and I were in Missouri last year. If I would have told Eric last year when we were at Columbia, Missouri, that here's a team that is going to be playing in the SEC title game a year later, I don't think you would have believed me for a minute.
Honestly, one of the greatest turnarounds in recent memory. And not only, I know Missouri beat ASU last year, but Missouri didn't win many other games besides taking care of the Sun Devils.
And they're not getting any run at all. If you think about the national conversation, the national conversation is all about, would a one-loss Auburn be able to jump over an unbeaten Ohio State to play Florida State? None of the conversation is the winner of the Missouri-Auburn game. How's that going to play out? Which I think is kind of interesting. Through all this. And then there's Alabama's had a disappointing season because they lost to Auburn. They lost on a 107-yard return on the final play, on a freak play that's never happened before. And you have these crazy Alabama fans that just can't come to grips with it. They're still bitching about how supposedly on one pass play, the offensive linemen were downfield, even though you can get 3 yards down the field in the college game. Oh, but he was 3.5 and 4 yards. I understand football is at a completely different level down in Birmingham. I get it in the South. But I'd like to see that passion start to take hold out here. And that's why when I look at ASU Stanford has a lot of big uglies up front. They put these jumbo packages on the field against ASU and just beat the snot out of them back in September. It wasn't just that ASU made some mistakes, because they did. It's that David Shaw, and we're going to talk with Todd Husak, the analyst of Stanford, here in a few minutes. It's that David Shaw, their coach, ended up putting some alignments out on the field that ASU just couldn't handle the size of them. So I'll be interested in that. The Diamondbacks made a trade yesterday. People want to know my thoughts on it. I can't tell you because I don't know the player to be named later. All I know is Heath Bell is no longer here. I also know this, that the Diamondbacks, you look at what else that teams are doing. In the National League West, what teams are doing. And I don't see any move that's been made yet that makes me believe, boy, they are going to make a run next year in the National League. Next week, Tampa Bay, the winter baseball meetings, we'll see if something comes out down there. A story about Peyton Manning, though, that caught my eye. So amid all the other stuff that's going on, there's a woman named Anna Bozard. You don't know Anna Bozard. Maybe you do. I doubt you do. Anna Bozard has been a Peyton Manning fan all of her life. So when it came time for her wedding, there was never any doubt she was inviting him. The question, would he even respond? Well, on Monday, 5 weeks after the card was due, and 3 weeks after the wedding, a written response from the Denver Bronco quarterback was picked up by the mom in the mailbox of her Virginia home. Manning filled out the RSVP card, checked the box that said he'd have to regretfully decline. He added best wishes, signed his name along with his number 18. So, of course, Anna Bozard says, I always loved watching him and admired the wonderful person that he was. Sounds like he's dead. Getting the response totally sealed my thoughts about him. He's a good-natured, good-hearted person. Bozard said she sent the card to Manning using the address for the stadium on the Broncos website. She said she thought she'd be a 25% chance she'd get something back.
It's a great consolation prize. It's something that will go in the wedding book. Yeah, of course. Is Peyton Manning going to show up at a random wedding? No, probably not. But 40 years
down the line. Probably not.
40 years down the line, if these two are still married and they can look back and they're going to see that Peyton Manning regretfully can't make the wedding, but at least there's this nice little handwritten note. And Peyton Manning goes down as one of the greatest quarterbacks ever. Who can say they have that? That's pretty cool.
Now, we know this, that you're getting married next July.
Correct. And I am also thinking about
reaching
out. Shut
up. You are not. Get out of here. You're not really going to do that, are you? Are you nuts?
I'm thinking about reaching out to Gary Patterson.
Get out of here. You're a loser.
It's been discussed.
You're going to... She should walk away from you in a minute.
It's been discussed.
You're going to send a letter... You are gonna send a wedding invitation to Gary Patterson.
I'm thinking about it.
You're a
thinking
dork.
About it.
Do you know how dork
about
you
it. That's all it is. Yeah, but you know what? I don't hide behind a mirage. I am who I am.
You love Gary Patterson.
I just love college football.
Gary Patterson.
And he's not preparing for a bowl game this year, so he's got some extra time on his hands.
That's funny. So like LaDainian Tomlinson, he's a TCU guy.
Yeah,
right?
That would be another one. But I mean, I don't know. We're just kicking it around. I mean, you only get married once, most people. Well, never mind. Digging a hole,
you
I can't
just dig
get out
a
of.
Hole, man. You can't get out of it.
But you'd have to think, Brad, getting back to Manning, of all the NFL players, Peyton would have to be one or near the top of the list of people that would actually take the time to respond to something like that.
I disagree with you on that. I think there's some people that have a sense of humor. Larry Fitzgerald has a sense of humor.
Kurt Warner would probably take the time if it got into Mark Dalton's hands.
Yes, that's the person.
And Mark went to Kurt and said, "Hey, you got invited to this person's wedding," and Kurt's like, "Give me that. I'm going to respond to it personally."
There's always
a middleman.
Because
or
I'm guessing that Peyton Manning is now going to get hundreds of wedding requests. And he should have sent like a China bowl or something. He should have sent a popcorn popper. But if he sends one popcorn popper, then he's going to lose fans. You know that there's some people there sifting through the mail. Well, this is kind of fun. Hey, why don't you sign this and let's move on? It's a good little story. I like. But you seriously are thinking of it. Well, let me throw some other TCU. Darryl Washington, TCU guy.
Nah, probably steer clear of D. Washington.
Had a little bit of problems there.
Allegedly.
Anything in the basketball world?
No, and again, it's just, again, it's what you talk about with your future marital partner when you're sitting on the couch.
No, we don't talk about sending a
Law and Order reruns.
We don't talk about sending wedding announcements
or invites. But I'm in the wedding fold. I'm all engrossed in it. And just as an outsider, I'm getting these emails from the photographer, and where do we want to get our pictures taken, and do we want a donut bar at our wedding? These are the kinds of things.
I will show up if you have a donut bar.
Of course. Well, I'd hope you show up anyway.
Do you dunk the donuts? Is it one of those deals?
You know, do we want to have traditional food? Do you want to have, like, the steak, chicken?
No, we want Peyton Manning to send us. We want to have the Gary Patterson. What was the highlight of your wedding? Why, of course, it's the I regretfully decline coming note from Gary Patterson.
And my bride-to-be wants Sparky to be there. So
no
we all
way.
Have, she does.
No
so
way.
We all have our, we all have our, we all have our, well.
Wow.
We just all have our, so.
All right. Sparky, huh? Mascots at the wedding. I don't know where to go from there. Mascots, I could go down a path I just don't think you want me to go down. Again, I have some tickets to give away. A pair of tickets at the 50-yard line for ASU and Stanford. I'm going to give them away on my Twitter feed tomorrow, Friday. Probably get them out of the way tomorrow. Friday, we're talking about... we're going to do the show out at ASU. It's just where we're going to do it from on Friday. It's supposed to be lousy weather.
And that's the thing. Do you think that it's going to benefit Stanford even more if it's raining and it's going to turn into a mud bog? Because it very well could be. I mean, we all know Stanford, they're not going to try to fool you. Okay, here's our 400-pound fullback.
Right.
And here's our extra offensive lineman that we're going to use as a tight end. And here it comes, middle drill, stop it if you can. And if it's raining, it's going to be even a bigger advantage.
Well,
Stanford.
But here's the thing, though. ASU's field's in good shape. And that field up at Stanford, you were there. That field was not in terrible shape.
No, no.
So,
but if it's actually raining during the game.
Well, we want that.
No, we don't.
Yes, we do.
That eliminates all the home field advantage
we
for
want,
ASU.
We want it to be just miserably cold and windy and rainy because it adds to the lore of it.
But it's exactly what Stanford's used to playing in.
You sound like you're cheering for ASU.
I'm not cheering. I'm just stating facts. Well, another fact is it's great that they're not playing Oregon because it will actually be a home game for ASU. If ASU was hosting Oregon, it would be about 65-35 ASU crowd.
Now, I heard that Stanford asked for 3,000 tickets.
Seems about right.
And Chris Cartman was on with us yesterday, and I did not know this. Did you know that ASU cannot fire off any of the fireworks? That they cannot, he wasn't quite sure if they could have Sparky stepping on the Stanford bus.
I saw it on ASUDevils.com's Twitter last night, but no, I wouldn't have known that unless you said it.
But all this stuff that fans show up to see, it's like they're going to have a sanitized stadium, right? It's pretty much just show up. It's going to be in all the Pac-12 network stuff, Pac-12 colors and all that, which is fine. But they are taking away some of the home field advantage for ASU. They are. If they're not going to have all that hype and buildup that gets guys jacked up, now fans can be loud and all that stuff, and I'm sure they will be, and that's what you want it to be. But kind of like the, you know, the stepping on the bus, that's what gets people really jacked up. It's one of those fun things. Hey, we're on Twitter at Brad Cesmat, C-E-S-M-A-T. Follow me there. At some point in time, I'm just going to give away a pair of tickets, 125 bucket seat tickets, Section 7, 50-yard line to ASU Stanford. I'm just going to do it. Some point in the next couple days. If you haven't followed me, follow me. And, of course, we're on White Mountain Radio. White Mountain Radio and our website, sports360az.com. I'm Brad Cesmat. In hour number two, Brad Cesmat with you, sports360az. The weather is moving in. Could it be on Saturday night? I just looked up at the monitor here in the high to mid-50s with some rain, and who does that favor, and all the things around ASU Stanford, those poor students that are camped out over at ASU, they're going to have to deal with it. They'll have an experience that they'll never, ever forget. It'll be a lot of fun. They say there's about 13,000 seats that are left over at ASU. I'll be doing the show on Friday out at ASU, and I have a pair of tickets at the 50-yard line, about 30 rows up, Section 7, 50-yard line. They'll be given away on Twitter for the matchup in the Pac-12 title game. Todd Husek joins us now for a couple of minutes, former Stanford NFL quarterback, Cardinal radio analyst. His thoughts on Saturday's game. Todd, how are you?
Awesome. Just another great week in college football after what was one of the more amazing weekends in the history of college football.
Yeah, I was looking at your Twitter feed. You are all over the Pac-12 strength of schedule. If people haven't followed Todd on Twitter, you're pretty strong in your thoughts at the Pac-12 not getting enough respect.
Well, I think it's my thoughts are the system is rigged towards the SEC. They only play 8 conference games, and just imagine if Oregon was playing Chattanooga instead of Arizona a couple weeks ago. Their season would look a lot different. That's exactly what Alabama did. And the fact that 3 teams from the SEC are in the top 5 right now speaks to how they've gamed the system. They've been able to work their schedules and work their opponents. The majority of them play 8 home games. It's too bad because I think the Pac-12 top to bottom is a better conference this year, yet they're on the outside looking in mainly because of their scheduling.
And I would agree with you on that. I know down here with Arizona State, they played a murderous schedule, and they did have the opportunity, the big fortuitous break against Wisconsin, but somehow they've been able to navigate to get to this point. When we were up in the Bay Area doing our show before the Stanford game, we went by the Pac-12 offices and had Commissioner Scott on, and I don't think anybody at the time would have thought Arizona State would be meeting Stanford in the Pac-12 title game. Did you?
You didn't look closely at my Twitter feed. I predicted Stanford and ASU meeting back in August. I think looking at ASU's schedule, I think they're an outstanding team, but the fact that they miss Oregon, they had a good home schedule. I thought that week 3 matchup against Stanford was one of the biggest of the entire season, certainly for Stanford, and it proved to be that. I think Stanford, that win sort of got Stanford going, and that first half I thought was crucial. I think if Stanford had played Arizona State in week 8 as opposed to week 3, it would have been a much different matchup. But Stanford caught them early. They caught them at a bad game. I think they were fortunate to play them at home. Stanford, a much different team at home than on the road. Looking back, I think that their losses against certainly USC and Utah have cost them. There's a chance that they could be in the national championship mix this week as well if they had pulled off just one of those games. But the fact that they played ASU at home in week 3 turned out to be a huge advantage for Stanford.
What is different about Stanford now, Todd, from what we saw earlier this year?
Well, a few things. I think their defense is playing with a lot of confidence. I thought their first half against Arizona State was one of the best halves of football they've played all season long. But the defense, you look at their last 5 weeks against some very tough opponents, Oregon, UCLA, USC, Oregon State, I mean, really did a great job shutting those high-powered attacks down. On offense, I think they realize now that Tyler Gaffney, and this wasn't the case in week 3, Tyler Gaffney's their best player on offense, and they've done a great job of getting him the ball early and often. I think the more carries he gets, the better he becomes. There were still some question marks early in the season on who would replace Stephon Taylor, who would be that guy who's going to get the 25 carries a game, and they really spread it out over the first few weeks, and then came the realization that Tyler Gaffney is that guy. They've also uncovered some outstanding wide receiver talent. Michael Rector came on as the season went along. Ty Montgomery, despite his horrible game against USC, has become one of the better receivers, I think, in the conference. Mm-hmm. And the offensive line has come together as well. Some young players have stepped up and done a tremendous job. So it's a little bit more confident team, I think, in after week 12 than maybe in week 3, where they were still trying to figure out exactly what type of team they were going to be.
Todd Husek, former Stanford and NFL quarterback, Stanford Cardinal radio analyst with Brad Sussmat for a couple of minutes. Pac-12 title game matchup. He'll be at Sun Devil Stadium for the Stanford Network. That'll be on Saturday evening. Defensively, Trent Murphy was a kid that we saw here in high school into a grown man. Top 10 pick in the NFL from your view, Trent Murphy?
I was shocked he didn't win Conference Defensive Player of the Year. It went to Will Sutton for the second consecutive year, and Sutton certainly had an outstanding season again, but Trent Murphy, you look at Stanford's defense, one of the tops in the country. They finished the season number 3 against the run, and they played 3 of the top 15 run teams in the country in Army, Oregon, and Washington. So it's not like they were doing against inferior talent. They have been awesome. That front 7, led by Trent Murphy, has been outstanding. I think he is a top 10 pick. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to go to the combine and really, his tape looks great, and where you see some disconnect between the end of the season and the draft is if guys don't have a great combine or don't show up as well, don't interview as well, he's going to wow everybody he talks to. He's going to destroy the combine and have a great off season. I expect him to be top 10, top 15 type of pick because he's the right. He reminds me a little bit of J.J. Watt from Houston. Mm-hmm. You know, just a disruptive player. He led the country in sacks, but he also intercepted a pass, ran it back for a touchdown. He second in the country tackles for loss. He gets in the backfield. He knocks down passes. He's just a very smart, athletic player. And that's, you look at the NFL, that's what teams need to battle against the athletic quarterbacks.
How many NFL guys do you think are on this team for Stanford?
I think the entire secondary will get drafted. I think Alex Carter and Ed Reynolds are potential first rounders. Jordan Richards as well, the other safety in that secondary. I think Ben Gardner will get a shot. Shane Scove for certain.
Yep.
And then you look at the offensive side, two or three offensive linemen. I think guys like David Yankee and Andres Pete, the guard and tackle, have a chance to be first rounders. And Ty Montgomery. If Kevin Hogan, the quarterback, continues to develop, he has a chance. He still needs to improve some of his mechanics and his decision-making, but it's hard to argue with his record. He has won a lot of big games and looked pretty good doing it. So, and Tyler Gaffney as well. I think there's probably 15, 20 guys on this team, and not necessarily all of them are starters. There's some young guys who I think have a great shot to step up over the years. So,
and that's,
it's a deep team.
Yeah, and that's my point. Is, you know, it's pretty easy for fans to just look at a roster and say, yeah, they've had a good season. But this is a team that has a bunch of guys that are going to continue to play at the next level.
And what's been fun is it's guys like Trent Murphy. You look back at his high school career, outstanding player, but the 60th ranked outside linebacker coming out that year. Guys like Ben Gardner, who has been a two-time all-conference player, who is unfortunately hurt and won't be playing in the championship game. Lower recruited players, maybe lower, not as highly thought of coming out of high school, who really developed. And then you combine those with the big talents like Shane Scove, who was a four-star player, like Alex Carter, who was a four-star player. It's a great mix of guys who have decided to come together and really work to get the most out of their talents while they're at Stanford. This senior class has only lost one home game in their entire career. I mean, the things that they've done, you look back, they've only lost two games in the state of California. So you look at Stanford's traditional rivals like Cal, SC, UCLA. They were 10-1 against UCLA and USC in their careers.
Wow.
I mean, that's pretty amazing stuff. Not too many people in the history of Stanford football have been able to claim what some of those guys have done. So you're right, tons of talent, but great guys who have really gotten the most out of themselves while at Stanford.
Before I let you go, so no Marion Grice down here. Look at it from Stanford's end. Their key, what they think they've got to do against ASU this coming Saturday.
Taylor Kelly. I think you look at what Taylor Kelly has done. The quarterback for ASU over the last 6-7 weeks has been awesome. He has been really the playmaker with his legs, with his arm, getting the ball to the outside. Jalen Strong has been an outstanding player. Stanford did a really good job, I think, getting to Taylor early in that Stanford game in week three. They had the interception early. I think putting some pressure on him, disrupting him, and it's not so much hitting him, but I think disrupting the timing. It comes down to the corners and safeties doing a good job at the line of scrimmage. If he's able to get off to a good start, Arizona State's going to be tough. They undefeated at home this year, and while Stanford has played, the defense has played well on the road. I think the offense has struggled at times, so it's really going to be up to the defense to disrupt ASU's timing, get to the quarterback a little bit, and shake his confidence, if that is possible, because the way he's played right now, boy, Arizona State is really putting up some points. So hopefully it doesn't come down to a shootout, but I think it's Stanford's defense versus ASU's quarterback will be the matchup to watch.
You sound fired up. We look forward to seeing you Saturday. Thanks, Todd.
Can't wait.
Todd Husek there, former Stanford NFL quarterback for a couple of minutes. Stanford radio analyst, his view. He sounds geek, man. Strap it on. Put on a helmet. Get ready to roll from Stanford's end. That'll be fun.